Okay, we'll begin this morning. I'll read first. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we boast in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. And not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded to many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one many shall be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's go back now and see what this really says when we break it out the way it should be.
I think that chapter could be taught
over and over and over and over. You couldn't teach it enough to get people to understand, I don't think.
You must have at one time referenced some of the
passages.
Like 8 through 11,
yeah.
Made changes.
Yeah, I'm sure I have, because this is prevalent throughout the whole scripture. This is prevalent in all of it. In the message of reconciliation. In this first chapter, go back to the first verse, chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore being justified, and literally the language doesn't say justified, it says innocent or just, okay? And they made it say justified. Therefore, we're innocent by faith. But what is faith? How do we get faith? Faith is a gift of God. We're saved by grace through faith, which is a gift of God, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, right? Okay, so this is a gift that God gave to us. It wasn't something we could earn. We couldn't work for it. We couldn't do anything. We couldn't beg for it. The scripture says that God gave a measure of faith to all, A-L-L, all humanity. So everybody's got some faith, just some have greater amounts of faith than others.
Don't you think they're awakened to it through the tribulation that they go through?
Well, not exactly, but we're going to touch on that in a little bit, okay? I'll touch on that in a little bit. It said, we have, or literally the word have is the Greek word echo. It means possess. We possess, see, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By that faith he gave us, we have peace. See, we possess the peace. Not that we're something we hold in our hand. That's what we say when we say we hold something. Most people think, well, I'm holding on to it, you know. But possess, and what I'm talking about is what we possess internally. We possess that peace inside that you can't get any other way except by the gift of God that he gives to us. And when Jesus left, he said, my peace I give to you. Okay? It's something internal. It's not something external. But you can see it. You can see the peace on people, the people that have it. And most people say, well, I have the peace that surpasses all understanding. No, you don't understand enough about what peace is. Peace is something you go through a lot of tribulation, a lot of pressure, a lot of hell to come to peace. And then this is going to be broke out in this chapter. This is a powerful, powerful chapter if we just take time to slow down and hear what it says, not just try to rush through it, okay?
Peace is like calmness inside.
Yeah.
Regardless of the circumstances.
It's a calm, cheerful endurance, I think the language actually says. A calm, cheerful endurance. And endurance means you're suffering things. So when things are bad, that tells you where your peace is at. In the midst of anything, you still got it. Not when it's just good times. Okay, verse 2, it says, by whom, and that same word by, that word through, it says through our Lord Jesus Christ right above it. Same word, dia, which means through, so it should be through right there. Those two words almost touching each other, and they got them mistranslated, you know. Should be through. Through whom also, and that's the Christ we're talking about, we have access by faith into his what?
Grace.
And what is the grace?
Grace.
It's, grace is the word, Greek word charis, but it means the divine influence in the heart of humanity and a reflection of that into your lifestyle. So that faith, so that grace is something and faith is something you can see. But we have access to this grace through the faith he gives us. We can't have that divine influence in our life until we have the faith that God gives us so we can have faith in what he's doing is going to fix us, makes us right. So you don't take a Volkswagen to a Ford dealer to get it fixed. Or you don't take a Mercedes to a Chevrolet dealer. You take them to the manufacturer. And we were manufactured or created through God, so we don't go to man to get fixed. We go to God to get fixed. Right? Does that make sense?
And the thing is, we're already fixed. We
just don't know it. So we got to find out what's going on. So we got to read the owner's manual. How's that?
Like cleaning off the dust off our fingers.
Get the dust blowed out from between our ears. That'll help. Okay, but we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice, or literally boast, in the hope of the glory of God. Now listen, if we're already there, what are we hoping for?
Yeah, I was going to say, that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't, does it? What that word really, hope, really means, it doesn't even say hope in the Greek language. It should say confidence. We rejoice in the confidence. Confidence tells you I already got it, doesn't it? Yeah. I'm confident. I have what he gave me. I'm not saying I hope I get it someday, and that's where most people are. See, those words are just double talk in there, the way they're translated. They're not the right way. So we have the confidence. So when you see that word hope there, it's confidence, and you're going to see it a few more times.
You know it.
You know it. See, the confidence is knowing. Mm-hmm. It's knowing. Verse 3, it goes on and says, and not only, and cross out the word so, but not only, but we boast in the tribulations, the thlipsis, the pressure. Right? We boast in it. And what we're saying is, I'm going through this thing, but I'm not going through it just for me. I'm going through it for all my brethren.
This one, it has a pretty good translation. It says, not only that, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance character.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me face break that out and I'll see what it says, how it compares to it. It says, we boast in the tribulations also, knowing that tribulation, the pressures and all the stuff we go through, works, or literally fully accomplishes or finishes, patience. Now, the word patience here that's being translated patience is literally a cheerful endurance. So the tribulation works to a cheerful endurance. That means that you endure in things, but you're still in a good mood. You don't need a Snickers. Okay? When you're going through these tribulations, you don't need a bag of Snickers. Okay? And patience, that's this cheerful endurance, it works something else. What does it work? Experience. Well, the word experience really doesn't come out that way. This word experience literally means a tried character.
Like a stone pillar.
Yeah, been polished up a little bit, hadn't it? Mm-hmm. See? So this patience that you get, this cheerful endurance that you endured, will bring about a tried character. And a tried character will bring about what? Hope. King James says hope, but guess what? That tried character brings about a joyful and confident expectation. See, when you know what you're going through and the reason you're going through it, guess what it brings out? It brings out that character in you. When you don't have those temper tantrums like a little kid, we don't get upset about everything that doesn't go our way. Like Job said, when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold.
You understand why.
That's right. You're doing it for a reason. It's not because somebody's mean to you. It's not because God's mad at you. It's because God loves you so much he can't leave you in the messed up state that we came in.
That gives you the courage and the ability.
Mm-hmm. And the confidence. The confidence to go right on through.
Press the...
Mm-hmm. And then in verse 5 it says, and hope, and that word hope again, remember what it is? It's that confidence. And confidence makes you not ashamed or not disgraced. See? Now the next word I really like comes in behind that. Because. You're not going to be ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad or poured forth in our hearts. Now look here. He said, the reason you're not going to be ashamed, that you're not going to be disgusted in any way, have any problem about what people do to you, all this processing that God is working for you, you're not going to worry about it. Because the love of God is in here.
Yeah.
It's already poured forth in our hearts. With the love of God being poured forth in our heart, how could we be upset with somebody else that doesn't understand?
Because you're looking to the wrong side of the test.
See, you're thinking about yourself and not anybody else. See, it's going to make you look through the eyes of God. What do you think Jesus was looking through the eyes that he was seeing when he was hanging on that cross, being beaten and broken and bruised? And he looked out there and saw all this humanity, and he saw more than what was standing there. He saw us today too. He saw the whole of humanity standing there, and he was looking through what eyes? The eyes of the Father. And that's what we have to do and say, this isn't about me. This is about getting them in the right place. We're just a tool he's working through. Just a avenue he's working through. But it says that they're shed abroad in our hearts. What is our heart?
Mind.
In our mind. So that may mean maybe that we have the right thinking?
Yeah.
It's not going to be shed abroad, is it? It is. That's a present tense word, isn't it? That was written thousands of years ago. So that means, guess what? It's already a done deal. It's already done. It's already been put in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, the one given to us. Yeah, that's an awesome piece of scripture right there now. If people would just slow down and hear this.
That's key.
Slow down and turn your ears on. Get your ears on so you can hear it. Verse 6, it goes on and says, because when we were yet without strength, in due time, and the word due time there is the word, I believe, kairos, and it means in the set or the proper time, Christ died for the what? Not the good people in church, was it? He died for the irreverent and the wicked, is what it should say. King James says, ungodly. He died for the ungodly. See, the church don't hear that when he says that. They think he died just for the ones that go to church.
Yeah, that do time as car rental.
Yeah, okay. I was pretty sure it was.
What did you say last time? The wicked?
The wicked and irreverent, the ones that don't respect or reverence God. Verse 7 goes on to say, because rarely, not scarcely, but rarely, for the sake of a righteous or innocent man, one will die. Yet, possibly, for the sake of a good man, some would even have the idea or entertain the idea of extreme conduct to die for someone. But God commended or introduced his love to us in that while we were yet sinful or devoted to sin, Christ died for us. When we were yet in a mess, he made the price to fix us. He paid it while we were in a mess. And see, the whole world says, well, first you got to get cleaned up so God can love you. You see something wrong with the picture here?
How can you do it by yourself?
You cannot do it by yourself. It's a free gift of God. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't beg it. It's up to him. And when he does it, we have to realize who's doing it, and it's up to his time. Didn't it say in the set or proper time? Up there in verse 6? It's in God's time, not our time. It's not our choice. Anyway, while we were yet sinful or devoted to sin, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified, and that word justified, it doesn't, I don't think, really do justice to the language here. It says we were acquitted. So when we stand before the judgment, when we stood, I should say, before the judgment, what was the answer? Didn't Jesus say on the cross, Father, forgive them?
Yeah.
Well, that is not guilty, isn't it? That's an acquittal. And he said, forgive them. He was talking about humanity, not about just a few people.
Not for the ones that was nailing him.
No, he was all of them. So they were acquitted. Now we're acquitted in his blood. We're acquitted in his blood. We shall be saved. See, that's a past tense thing. We shall be something, futuristic rather. We shall be someday is what they're trying to say. But the word there should be, we are delivered from wrath through him, which is his resurrection. Right? So, a lot of the translations don't have that thing there, but that's the implied word. We were given life and justified or acquitted in his blood, and we are delivered from wrath through his resurrection. Him dying didn't accomplish anything unless he resurrected. Right? Because everybody else died, but he resurrected after the death. Okay, verse 10, he goes on and says, because if when we were enemies, and literally, it doesn't say that, it should say, because if being enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we are, well, not shall be, but we are delivered through his life. Okay? And not only, verse 11, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now. Mark that word now. That word is very, very important. Whom we have now received what? King James says atonement, but Lisa said it right. The word is reconciliation. That's what the language says there, reconciliation. It doesn't say atonement. I know atonement is very similar in some thought processes, but the word is reconciliation. We have received it. So he told us above, we were reconciled through his death, weren't we? We were. Past tense. Were is a past tense word. When he died. And I'm going to tell you, people think that it all happened on Calvary. Calvary was the culmination of the very thing that he did. But the book says in multiple places that he was a lamb that was slain before the conception of the world.
Made it visible.
King James says foundation, but it should say language says conception of the world or the cosmos. So before it was ever a problem, he knew there was a problem, so I'm going to have to fix this problem, and he fixed it. And then he had to make it, like Lois said, he had to make it visible to where people would believe something.
And they still didn't believe it.
And they still don't believe it. Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Okay, what to leave off? 12?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wherefore, or literally, through this thing, or through that thing, what we're talking about, that message of reconciliation and the death and burial and resurrection, just as, or exactly like, one man, or through one man, sin, okay, or missing the mark, entered into the world, okay? The cosmos, into the mind of humanity. It wasn't talking about this world out here. See, the problem didn't come in the world, and people think world is this big globe out here and all this society of world out here we call world. But what this world is talking about, cosmos, it says the orderly arrangement. It's the thinking process in man. Sin didn't happen physically until it happened mentally, did it? It has to happen inside. So when he said about this cosmos, that sin was in the world, beg pardon?
I said the dirt out there didn't sin.
No. Where would I leave off at?
World.
I'm trying to see it. I can't see the word. Is that in 13?
12.
Okay, there it is. I couldn't pick up on the word. But sin entered into the world, and that is into the thinking process. And when it gets into thinking process, it brings what? Death. To be carnally minded is death. By or through sin. And so, in this way, death, carnality, passed where? Upon all mankind, all humanity, because all have, and it shouldn't say because that all have sinned, that's King James, but it should say because all sin, all have the wrong thinking, correct? Everybody had the wrong thinking process. Didn't the scripture also say that the whole world lies in deception? Correct?
Yeah, the whole cosmos.
The whole world lies in deception. So the whole world has an error in their thinking process. So if all have thought wrong, that's the sin. All sin comes from within. Nevertheless, see, no, 13. Because until the law, sin was in the world, the cosmos. See? Until the law. From the time of Adam until the law came with Moses, there was sin, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was already there.
There was a thinking process that was not right. But sin is not imputed what? Being, since there is no law, rather. Being no law, how can there be a sin? It's just like today. In the time of Adam to Moses, there was people doing wrong things. There was murders and adulteries and fornications and anything you can think of, because it was already in the mind of humanity. But there was no penalty for it, because there was no law. Along comes the law, and now there's a penalty for everything. And 4,000 years later, guess what? Here comes Jesus, and he dies and fulfills the law. Now there's no more law. So how could sin be imputed any longer?
Man keeps making it visible.
Can it? It can't work. He just took it from where it was before and showed you the law won't change anything, and now we're back, I'm taking care of it. There's no sin imputed. That's according to the book. Okay? Man keeps wanting to keep there. If they can keep you in condemnation, they can get in your wallet. They can control your thinking process.
What did that imputed? What did you say that it was logically?
Mm-hmm.
It was logical.
Right.
Logically.
Yep. But it says, but sin is not imputed when there is no wall. And nevertheless, death or carnality reigned from Adam to Moses, just like I said a minute ago, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him or the one that was to come or was to appear, or the one that was expected, talking of the Christ, right? The Messiah. But, verse 15, as the offense, so also is the free gift. Because, and that word free gift, let me get that right. Yeah, just a second, I'm trying to see something here. Okay, the word right there for free gift?
It's charisma.
And what does it say the word means?
From a divine gratuity.
Uh-huh.
Deliverance from death.
Deliverance. Deliverance. That's the word. So where it says the free gift is deliverance. Not free gift. Deliverance is what that word means. The deliverance is free. He paid the price for it. We don't have to. Because if the offense, if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace or the divine influence of God in the heart of man and a reflection of lifestyle, and the gift through grace, which is by one man, okay, Jesus Christ, has abounded to many or all, any way you want to say it there. Because it was for all, wasn't it? He died once for all.
Where it says many, is that a myriad?
Yeah, it's not literal number.
Yeah.
Verse 16, and not in the manner through one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was through one to condemnation, but the free gift, the deliverance, is of many offenses unto what? Justification, right? And that word justification is should actually say innocence or decision. The root out of the word is innocence. The root is out of decision. The decision is not guilty, isn't it? It's an acquittal.
Is that word righteousness the one you're going over now?
No, it says in verse 16, the end of it.
Okay.
Justification.
Okay.
So, innocent is the decision.
Yeah, it's innocence, or it's come by the decision. And the decision came on the cross at Calvary, or the Lamb that was slain before the conception of the world. So we're not looking at condemnation in Christ, are we? That'd be a few verse chapters down the road yet. Verse 17, because if by one man's office death reigned by one, or through one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and abundance of the divine influence in a man's heart, and of the gift of righteousness. And now that word righteousness there is innocence. The gift of righteousness or innocence, we receive that free acquittal, that free deliverance.
So is that word justification in 16 and righteousness in 17 the same thing?
Now let me look, 16, I go back. Which word in 16?
Justification.
Okay.
Innocence.
It was innocence. And in the 17, you've got it right in front of you right there. I can't. The word righteousness there is innocence. It's the root. It's a root word of its innocence. And a lot of times the meaning comes out of the root word more than the word actually used.
Righteousness is 1343.
What's it say?
Doc.
Don't worry about that. Doc and Os. Go ahead. Go ahead.
It's from equality.
Go ahead.
Especially Christian justification.
Okay. Click on your bar there to go to.
In a broad sense, state of him who is as he ought to be. Righteousness, the condition acceptable to God.
Okay. Which is innocent.
Yeah. He never seen anything other than
innocent.
Innocent.
Yeah. Shall reign. And look here, it said, when let me go back and read this. I want you to hear this verse because this is a very powerful verse when you can get it in your mind. Because if by one man's offense, and that word's paratoma, death or carnality reigned through one. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of innocence, right, or deliverance, shall reign in life. Do you hear what he said? When you receive this abundance, you're going to do what in life?
Reign.
You're going to reign in life. That's right now.
Mm-hmm.
You can go right back to verse 11 to that now. It's still here.
Reign in life.
In life. Not reign after life. It's going to reign in life. By one or through one, Jesus Christ. Through Christ, we're going to reign in this life. That means we're going to be overcomers. We're going to live this life. It doesn't mean we're going to have great big castles to live in and tons of money and all this fancy stuff. It means we're going to live in here in the peace of God. In this life, the only life there is the life of Christ. This is powerful. When you get that and realize when you receive this abundance of grace, you'll reign in life through Jesus Christ. Then we go to 18. Therefore, as through the offense, okay, that's the paratoma. That word paratoma, Paul used a lot. It's the hartomeia, and it means whether intentional or unintentional. You know, it covers it all. So therefore, as through the paratoma of one, judgment came upon how many?
All.
It came to all men or all humanity to condemnation. In this way, by the righteousness or the innocence of one, the free gift came upon or to how many?
All
humanity, right? Unto justification. And the word justification literally means what? Innocence. That was that acquittal, that statement from Jesus, Father, forgive them. That's the acquittal. That's the word that makes you innocent. Mm-hmm. Not by what you do, whether you have done or have not done, has no bearing on the fact of what he said. He said, Father, forgive them. And there is nothing that Jesus, the man, the Christ in him, asked of the Father that the Father wouldn't have given him. And he said, Father, forgive them. There's your acquittal. But if you don't believe that, you're going to walk around in condemnation and guilt.
You could be in a prison with the door open.
You're already open.
That's why yeah. People are in prison.
Didn't it say in the Gospels that the stone was rolled away and most people still sitting in their graves? Whether they're in a church or in a prison or wherever they're at today, they're still in prison in their minds because they don't believe that stone was rolled away. You have to believe what God said. How did Abraham become a child of God? How did he become a Jew?
He believed God.
And in all of his sons, there's no difference. If we're the seed of Abraham, we have to do the same thing he did. Believe what God said. And God said, you receive this and reign in life through Jesus Christ, if you receive this gift of life. Believe it. Verse 19, because just as, or exactly like, through one man, okay, one man, through one humanity's disobedience. Now, the word disobedience has another meaning here, and I like the way it says it. They hear amiss.
Yeah, but Amplified says they fail to hear.
Well, they hear amiss, what the language actually says. For just as, or exactly as, through one man's hearing amiss, many were made, what? Sinful devoted to sin. So through the obedience, right? And the obedience, listen, and that word obedience there means attentive hearkening or submission. So through one man's hearing amiss, everybody got in trouble, but through one man's attentive hearkening or submission, the Christ, the man Jesus, obedience of one, many shall be made what? Righteous or innocent. And why were they made innocent? Because he asked of the Father.
He said,
Father, forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
Let them right in their thinking.
Just change the way they think.
Because it was wrong.
It was wrong from the beginning, and we're going to adjust it.
Devoted to sin, consciousness is wrong thinking.
It's wrong thinking.
Righteousness.
It's right thinking.
The right thinking, period.
You're innocent, absolutely. See, if you see that, that clears you up. You don't have any more condemnation, guilt. And someone said something to me while we was up in Michigan, and we'd been teaching all day, you know, just talking and sharing. And this woman came to me and she said, "You seem like you're so at peace." Said, "All day you've just taught and you just feel like you're at peace." I said, "I am. Why would I just seem like it? I should be, shouldn't I? Shouldn't we all be at peace in our lives? If we believe what he's telling us, we should walk in peace." See? It's a process. I wasn't always there, believe me. Had my day, you know. But it's a time now. There's no time left. I'm not letting some rock speak for me. I'm not giving it up. You know, I'm keeping what I got.
What was it we heard the other day? Wayne Dyer said we're studying for our finals right now.
Yeah, we're studying for our finals. Yep. Okay. Verse 20, right? "Moreover, the law entered in order that the offense or the paratoma might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." So even though you made a mistake, God's got more grace than you can ever screw up.
Yeah.
So every time you screw up, God's got enough grace to cover it all.
It's always filled up.
It's already taken care of. So verse 21, he goes on and says, "In order that exactly like sin has reigned in carnality, even so," or "in this way," cross out that word "might" right there, because that word "might" shouldn't be there. That's another doubt word. "Even so, grace," not "might" grace, it's "even so, grace reigned through righteousness," or innocence, "to" what? "Eternal life." Well, you can say it that way if you want to. It says the ageless life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we can do all this through the ageless life of Jesus Christ our Lord. All we've got to do, it's not what you do, like I said a while ago, or not what you don't do that makes you in right standing with God. It's believing that what he did.
Just be.
Be who you be. If you can do that, you've created a wonderful atmosphere for you and the people around you. Because when you create an atmosphere or an aura around yourself, what does that do to people around you? That's right. So if people can see you have something, some kind of peace that they would desire in their life, they're going to be attracted to you. They want what you got. Just like you said, Lloyd, by the time you left out the other day, people were drawn to you because of all the stuff going on and you didn't panic in it. That's what we're supposed to portray to the world. The whole world has got more hell than they need.
That's grace.
See? And what we need is the grace in our lives to be reflected out so people can see it, so they can have some of it. Because we can't use it all up, believe me. Everything God gives you, you can't use it up, because every time you use some of it, there's more poured back in, more than you give out.
That's because it says it's the aeonious,
the ageless life.
There is no beginning.
There's no end. There's no worry about it. Just be. And it goes back to that verse 11 where it's now. It's got to start now. Not next week. Now.
I was thinking about out there in 19 where we were talking about failing to hear.
Yeah.
And it made me think about Eli and Samuel.
Yeah.
Because Eli was the old order.
Eli was the old order. Samuel was the new order. But the new order still wasn't hearing properly yet, was he?
No. He was still
a child, immature.
He started hearing a little bit.
He heard something.
Still wondering.
And it took the old order to say,
that's
the way to go.
Right.
See? The old order is not done away with. It's still used to say, this is the way, walk ye in it, go. Don't throw mama from the train.
Well, we can't say, man, I spent all these years in a church system.
For nothing. No. No.
Because we were being trained in certain
Absolutely.
Ways.
We had things going on that we needed